Okay. Paul says, what shall we say then? That Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter. If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, we need to understand how that works for us. We believe, and it's credited to us as righteousness. We believe, and it's credited to us as righteousness. Now, before we get, before we go any farther in this, we need to consider what James says, because we need to know the understanding between between faith and works. All right? Now, James makes the point that faith without works is dead. And I want to read to you from James, and let's settle this. Because people are going to have questions about this. They run into this, and they begin to think that there's a difference, some kind of paradox between faith and works. They will perceive it that James is saying one thing, and that Paul is saying another. And they're not. They're talking about this exact same thing, but they're approaching it from different ways. James wants you to understand, yes, what you have is by faith. But faith produces works. I will show you what I believe by what I do. Isn't that true with Abraham? You could tell that Abraham believed God by what he did. When God said, I'll show you a place to go, a land, come and follow me and I'll show you a land that I'll give you. If Abraham had said, oh, well, very good, Lord, I believe, but then he didn't go, then his actions didn't line up with what he said he believed, did it? And that's the whole point. Faith will produce works. The works don't justify you, but faith produces works. And you can actually show what you believe through it is what you do. Now, the point is, you cannot do something to try and prove your belief. But the fact is, your faith will be demonstrated in what you do. In other words, the works don't come first to try to make faith happen. You do things because you believe, right? It's just natural. If I believe the bank is going to fail, what is my work? I run down and I grab all my money out of the bank, don't I? If I believe this stock is going to take off, what do? I put my money where my mouth is. I go in there and I actually lay money down on the stock. If I believe I have the winning lottery number, I actually go buy a lottery ticket. Knowing the winning lottery number doesn't do me no good if I don't actually follow through and buy one. Right? And that's all James is trying to say. What you do will demonstrate what you believe. You don't do things to demonstrate, faith that ain't there. You don't try to do works and hope that faith will follow. You do things because you believe. So, this is what James says. What good is it, my brothers? And this is in chapter 2 of James, starting in verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about the physical need, what good is it? If you come to me and tell me that you have a problem and I say, go, be warm, be well, we'd be fed, but I didn't do anything, then I didn't invest my faith in you, did I? What good is that kind of faith that has no action to it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God, good, but even the demons believe, and they shudder. Just mentally acknowledging there is a God, anybody does that, everybody does that, even the demons do that, that don't make them good, right? But if you acknowledge God, it'll be accompanied by what you do as well, won't it? You'll invest in it. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? What of our ancestor Abraham? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together. See, the point is, Abraham believed God, so he offered up Isaac. Right? God said, offer me up your son, and he did it. That showed where his faith was, huh? He trusted God. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 that Abraham reasoned because God told him that through Isaac your seed shall be called. And here, if God's going to have me kill him, then he must be planning to raise him from the dead. That's how strong Abraham's faith was. Well, if God tells me that he's going to give me seed more numerous than the sands of the seas through Isaac, and then now God's telling me to kill Isaac before he's had any children, God doesn't contradict himself. So he must be planning to raise him from the dead. And can you see that through Abraham, through faith, in doing what he believed, he trusted that God was able to raise the dead, and therefore he showed his faith in the resurrection of the dead, right? And by showing his faith in the resurrection of the dead, he greeted Christ from afar, who was the resurrection of the dead. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. God bless you, Wynn. So it says, you foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? What? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed in God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does, and not by faith alone. Now we have a whole generation who doesn't understand faith works that way. See, they say the pretty words, but they will not submit their life to God. That's called the once saved, always saved doctrine. They don't believe that what they do is associated with what they believe. And it's crazy. So going back to what Paul said, he approaches the other end. It is through faith. Faith is primal. What you do comes next. Faith is primal, but what you do demonstrates it. Faith is first. When a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. He earned it. However, if the man who does not work but trusts God, who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. So Abraham didn't do works to try to earn that position with God. That position was given by God's choice. Right? And the way Abraham responded proved his faith. He didn't do it to try to make it happen. He did it because he already believed. And there's a difference. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. And this is the point. You can't earn anything. You can't earn a righteousness with God. There's nothing you can do that can earn righteousness with God. It's credited, just like James acknowledges. It's credited to you as righteousness as it was with Abraham. Right? But that faith will be manifested in what you do. Right? You can see that there's no paradox there. That's the way it works. So blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. Is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We've been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still circumcised. And here's two points that Paul wants to make through this. Abraham didn't get circumcised as a work to please God in order for God to bless him. Abraham received the sign of circumcision as a seal to what he already believed. The sign of circumcision was given to Abraham to mark his faith. He didn't do the work of circumcision in order to get faith. It was a sign of the faith he already had.
All right. The second point is, Abraham received the sign of circumcision before he was considered Israelite, before he was considered Jew. In fact, all of Israel and Jews would come from Abraham. Abraham was circumcised after he believed. So not as God only the father of those who are circumcised, Jews, but he's also the father of those who are not circumcised and yet believe. That means he's the father to the Gentiles who share in faith. He's not only the father of those who are circumcised and believe, but he's also the father of those who are not circumcised and believe. Because how did Abraham receive this? He received the sign of circumcision after he believed. He was a Gentile. He received it as a Gentile. So is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then he is the father of all those who believe but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to them. He is also the father of the circumcised, when not only after are circumcised, but also who walk in the faith and the footsteps of faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. You see the point? So it's not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise. He would not be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by law are heirs, faith has no value, and the promise is worthless, because law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. So he's saying, just because the Israelites were given the law doesn't mean that's what justifies them. Because the fact is, all the law can do is really is condemn you, because you can't fulfill it of yourself. But they received a promise through Abraham that supersedes law. Right? And that promise was given to Abraham how? By faith or by covenant? By law. It was given to him by faith. So Abraham is not only the father of those who are circumcised and walk in his footsteps of faith, both, but he's also the father of those who are uncircumcised and walk by faith. And those who enter in, you can't enter in because of law. You can't enter in because of that covenant. That covenant, as a matter of fact, tells you most certainly that you're a sinner and you will die. It judges you. And all of these people who are Christians now, who think they can enter in, we've shown you that not only is the once saved, always saved doctrine twisted, but now we're showing you that those who think they can justify themselves by works are twisted as well, whether it be works of the law or works of the flesh. It's not what you do alone that justifies you, and it's not faith alone that justifies you. It's faith that produces works. Faith that produces works. Because your faith will be manifested in what you do. And isn't that a clarity? Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace, and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only those who are of the law, but also those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our Father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. And this is the important point. When you walk by faith, it is calling things that are not as though they were. In the Gentiles' case, he's calling you a Jew. Right? He's calling you an Israelite, even though that doesn't appear. Right? God is calling you when you enter in and you receive a circumcision of the heart. When you enter in by faith, you entered into that covenant the same way Abraham did. Right? Through faith. Abraham was a Gentile, and God called him his people, and that through him he would be the father of many nations. So Abraham becomes your father when you enter into this covenant through the same way he did, through faith, apart from law. He's also the father of all of us, both Jew and Gentile, in the fact that we enter into Christ through Abraham, through faith. God calls us his children when it doesn't yet appear. So on two levels, not only are you called an Israelite where it doesn't appear, but you're also called, you and the Israelites together are called the children of God, where it does not yet appear, the resurrection. And you see how one is a figure for the other. Because it is no harder for God to raise up children of Abraham through a woman than it is through a rock. You understand? And that rock is Christ. Remember where they boasted that they were the children of Abraham? And they were told. Jesus told them, God can raise up children of Abraham from the rocks. See, God calls things that are not as though they were. And we were all of that stone heart and far away from God as Gentiles. But we have now been received into that grace through faith. We do not yet appear as the children of God, and neither do we appear as Israelites. But that's what we are through faith. And what we do demonstrates that faith. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only those who are of the law, but also those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Isn't that the whole thing, primacy of faith? You're called a child of God, and it does not yet appear. He calls you, even though you're not yet a child of God, you are through faith. Because God calls you that, and you believe him. And then what you do demonstrates that is what you believe. Isn't that cool? Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. And this is what it means, against all hope. All hope was earthly, of a man's hope. Everything, Abraham's body was next to dead. Sarah's womb was barren, right? And this shows that the flesh can produce nothing. That the flesh is wasting away. That we can produce nothing of ourselves. But Abraham, in hope of God, what God promised, held on against all hope, didn't he? Against all the things he's seen. God calls things that are not as though they were, remember? He stood against all hope, Abraham in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations. Well, everything you see goes against your faith, doesn't it? Isn't that true? God calls you his eternal child, but in the mirror you see it wasting away, yourself wasting away, don't you? God calls you as one brought back from the dead, but in the mirror you see you're dying. God calls you his child and sinless, but you see that you're a sinner. Aren't you standing in hope against all hope? Aren't you standing in hope against all hope? Aren't you standing in the hope of a promise against the hopelessness of everything you see? But we don't walk by what you see. You walk by faith. Not by sight. Because by sight, everything you see is against what you say you believe. So against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as has been said, so shall your offspring be. And without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. And this is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were written
not for him alone, but also for us, whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he was delivered over to death for our sins, but was raised to life for our justification. So Jesus was delivered over to death for that hopelessness we see, that we could enter into that hope we do not see through faith. Jesus was delivered over to death to remedy that hopelessness we all see, so that we could enter into that hope that we do not see, the resurrection of the dead. God is calling things in you as though they were, even though they're not. You are not yet a child of God if you walk by what you see. But you are his child if you walk by faith in his promise. You in hope stand against all hope. And that's what makes you a child of Abraham. You see that? Isn't that the clarity of faith? Isn't that the absolute clarity of what faith is? You stand on God's promise, believing he is willing and able to do it. You're just as dead as Abraham and Sarah, and as barren. You can't produce of yourself. And everything about you is passing away. It's hopeless. But you believe what God promised. And what you do reflects that promise, your belief in it. And you live by what you believe and not what you see. You in hope stand against all hope. And that's who the Christian is. That's what makes him both a child of Abraham, a Jew, and that's what also makes him a child of God, a new creation. Amen? As he says in chapter 2 here, or at the end of chapter 2, a man is not a Jew if he is only one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly. And circumcision is circumcision of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a man's praise is not from men, but from God. This is our gospel. And there isn't another one. You have righteousness credited to you, though it does not yet appear what you will be, if you stand in faith. And that's the righteousness of Christ that's credited to you. It's not a righteousness of your own. It's counted to you, though it does not yet appear. The same as with Abraham. No different. And if Abraham is considered eternal in the heavens now, at the right hand of God through Jesus Christ, so are you, sitting in the heavenly realms with Christ, eternal, through your faith. Amen? Praise God. This is good. This is a good place to stop.